Omaha Public Radio presents a special program for Hispanic Heritage Month on Noon Forum. We'll hear a panel discussion from the Metropolitan Community College Diversity Matters lecture series. The program is entitled Accompanying the Migrant Family. The members of the panel include Ricardo Ariza, Director of Multicultural Affairs at Creighton University, and Lorena Zamaripa, a junior in the Creighton College of Business. They'll talk about their experiences during their 2008 spring break in California working with migrant farm workers. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Monday morning, September 22, 2008, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of Metro Community College, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is Barbara Velasquez, Coordinator of International and Intercultural Education at Metropolitan Community College.
Today we're honored to have our colleagues from Creighton University here to present about a very magnificent experience that they had experienced in California over spring break. Ricardo Ariza, the Director of Multicultural Affairs at Creighton University, and Lorena Zamaripa, who's a junior at Creighton in the College of Business Administration. She's also the president of the Creighton University Latino Student Association. In talking with her, I have learned that she was born in California, grew up in Mexico, and her fame is that she learned English in 45 days. So you're going to be really impressed when you hear how well she can present to us today. But they're going to tell us about the experience they had accompanying the migrant family earlier this year. Okay?
Thank you. We are honored to be a part of the Hispanic Heritage Month celebration here at Metropolitan Community College. Barbara Velasquez, thank you again for the invitation. And I was on your campus just Saturday for a wonderful powwow. And that was truly a blessing, and I thank you for that. That's an incredible tradition here at Metro that we love to be a part of. We've been asked to share our recent service learning experience in Stockton in Los Angeles, California, for you to have a greater understanding of this whole process. I'd like to share with you just a little bit of the history. Back in 2006, Father President Schlegel had asked me if I would serve as the host for the Jesuit Hispanic Ministry Conference, and over 100 Jesuits from the Americas came to Creighton University that year, and they came to organize and to put together a 10-year plan in terms of how the Jesuits were going to serve Latinos throughout this continent. And I say that afterwards, they did a little bit of an assessment, and I had made so many mistakes during this conference. They did the Catholic thing, and they gave me redemption. So they asked again if I would host the next year the 2007 Second National Consultation, and that's the Catholic Migrant Farm Worker Network. And I was truly up for the charge, but could not do it without the assistance of wonderful student leaders on our campus. I had put the request out for 5 students to work from 7 a.m. until midnight, 7 days in a row, no pay. And not only did I get 5, but I got 10 more. I had 15 student leaders who were willing to take on this charge. Lorena was one of them, and it was an amazing experience. And so at this second consultation, we had 156 migrant leaders from across the nation. Many of them could not fly. They drove between 10 and 30 hours to get here. During this conference, the purpose of the conference was to meet with migrant leaders and to get their opinion as to how can the Catholic Church serve migratory people in this country. And during this consultation, we were blessed with Bishop Romero from Bishop Mance from Chicago, who came, and he prayed with us. There was a major public art display that was built, 15 feet tall by 42 foot long, a U.S.-Mexico border, and the students were a part of building this incredible border. Each day we would have prayer at the border, and the workers, the leaders would stay in McGloin on the east side of campus and each day cross the border going to conference, symbolic of what happens each and every day at the U.S.-Mexico border. Okay, there were times of relaxation. There were song fests, visits to El Museo Latino. And I did tell the students from 7 a.m. until midnight, and I do remember leaving campus at sometimes 2 and 3 in the morning, and our ribs would hurt from laughing because we were engaged in community. And I kept, you know, I'd come home and I'd say, why do my ribs hurt so bad? And I couldn't figure it out. And the students were, do you remember that last night? We were laughing so hard. And I was like, oh, that's why they hurt so bad, because of the laughter. But again, it was about bringing people together from all over the nation and building community in a very small amount of time. After this consultation, I must have did okay, because they had asked me if I would join their board, the Catholic Migrant Farm Worker Network National Board. And so I joined the board. And at the Manresa Retreat Center in Detroit, Michigan, the concept of doing a service trip took on a life of its own. I proposed the idea to the board, and I remember sitting next to Jose Lopez from the Stockton Diocese, and he put his arm around me, and he said, when I introduced the concept of bringing students to work in the fields and experience what the migrant families experience each and every day to accompany the migrants, Jose rose his hand and he says, and the community of Stockton will be the first to welcome you. And so that's how that concept came about. And then upon my return to campus, I had announced at the Latino Student Association that the board had accepted the idea, and immediately I had 10 females and one male who were signed up for the trip. And at this point, I'll let Lorena to speak about the next stages.
So how did we begin our migrant journey? Well, we have about 4 meetings prior to going to the trip. It was just a preparation for us to share our concerns or what was our individual purpose of going on the trip. My individual purpose of going on the trip was I was part of the consulta, so I wanted to get to see where the people that came to our campus was from, and to get to see them again and laugh and get our ribs hurt again, so because we were laughing so much, but just basically to get to see them again and see where they were working. So also part of meeting was our concern was that we were going to be outsiders going into this community. How are we going to be received? What are they going to say? Why are these people coming to our community? What's their purpose? So we came up with a few goals for the trip. So it was basically for our purpose was to increase understanding of our ancestors who were migrants, learn to contemplate and reflect how God is in all things, learn how students get involved in the issues of social justice and human rights, and also the coalition to build the grassroots organizations to serve the poor. So our service trip was about 5 days in Stockton, California, in the migrant fields, and then 5 days in LA, in Los Angeles, for the Ignatian teaching on immigration. So our first worry was that we were gonna be outsiders. coming into this community, but also going into this service, we had to do fundraiser, which was one of the biggest things that we had to do during the spring. The Latino Student Association is famous for our enchiladas, so the campus was ready for us to make enchiladas, and so orders were pouring in. We had to make 3,000 enchiladas for us to go on this trip. It was a 12-hour day of fun enchilada making. So once the trip was financed and everything, our worry was outsiders. We were going to be outsiders. But once we got to Stockton, California, that was different. We actually got to the St. Mary's Catholic Church, and Ricardo is going to tell you a little bit about the church.
St. Mary's Church was the original cathedral of Stockton, California, and was built in 1862 and famous for the Crucial movement in California. And we were reminded by the padre that you could look down on the floor and you could see the footsteps of Cesar Chavez, because Cesar Chavez trained there at St. Mary's Church in the Crucial movement. And it was an incredible church. I mean, just very majestic in its presentation. And I remember looking, excuse me, behind the altar, and it was the Last Supper scene. But above the, all the Jesus and the disciples, there were angels above. And I kept looking at them, and I was like, what's so unique about these angels? They were multicultural angels. I mean, of all different skin colors. And I looked at them, and I was like, that's different. I've never seen that before. But it was a beautiful, beautiful church. am I talking about the welcome there? No. You're next.
I'm talking about the welcome. Well, like he said, the church was huge. It was when we were invited for Mass that first day, and that was part of our welcome. Mm-hmm. So it was scary to see about 500 people in a church and everyone looking at us and seeing, why are these people here? Where is their purpose? So El Padre, the Father, doing the Mass, he explained our purpose, and our purpose was to be with the migrant workers and see how they live and just hear their stories. And at that moment is when the group realized that we were not outsiders, because everybody applauded and welcomed us into their community. And it was just very moving to see that this people, group of strangers, was welcoming us and their community. So now I would like to read an excerpt. This is a reflection that we share with the Ignatian family teaching in Los Angeles. And it's just basically for you to see what our relationship was during the trip with this expecting community. So it reads like this. Laughter filled the room. At first glance, it seemed like it was a family gathering for a celebration. But if you look closer, it was a group of strangers that just met for the first time to share their life stories. As we share our stories, some of us came to realize that we place the same importance on the concept of family. It is that unit where culture, values, support, guidance, life lessons, and love is formed. Through our service trip experience, we witnessed numerous personal stories of migrant farmers who are motivated to provide a better future for their families. These individuals open up to us, not hoping for pity, but understanding in return. Each story was a sacred story. In their journey to migrate to a different country, numerous migrants have to make the choice to leave their families behind at the expense of missing birthdays, holidays, and living in the margins of a society that welcomes their work, at the same time frowns at their existence. The migrants depend upon each other to form a social and spiritual support, so they form a family among them. And we got to be part of this family during our service trip. But their purpose is basically to provide a spiritual and social support for the migrant workers in the fields. So this is it was a very welcoming day, and we were not outsiders, but we were part of their family.
The day two, we went to St. Mary's Interfaith Community Services, and we were given an orientation to this facility that provided not only hot meals for the homeless and migrant families, but provided medical services, pharmacy services, K through eight teachers that serve the children, shower facilities, a place you can get clothing, change your clothes each and every day, an ophthalmologist. Over 20 doctors volunteer their time each and every day to serve the medical needs of people. It was an incredible service center. It was underneath the interstate, and I'll always remember across the street there was these mounds of garbage, and it was a garbage recycling place, and you could see the poison emissions going into the air each morning, and it stunk. It was a horrible smell. Of course, it had I don't know why, but they had barbed wire over the top of the fence, thinking, I don't know, someone's going to go steal their garbage. I never got that one, but it was an amazing sight.
Yeah, and then during that first day, we got to do many community service. One of the things was we prepared about 500 sandwiches to serve to homeless and migrant families, and we also went to the different sections of such as the school, the dental clinic, the medical clinic, and the pharmacy. So we got to see those facilities, and those people who were interested in the medical field got to do a little bit of community service with them and get to see how their facilities work and what they do for the migrant workers and the homeless there. And also on day two, we went to the Delta Islands, which is the Staten area is divided in different sections, and this is one of the sections where the migrant, one of the migrant fields is. And on this day, we got to attend a mass. We were invited, and it was just basically a mass to bless the harvest, the starting of the harvest. So we got to be in a room. It was a house, and it was probably around 30-plus people at the mass. And it was just us sharing and them welcoming us to their community.
We left the mass probably about 11:30 p.m. And the next morning, 6:30 a.m., we had to be in the fields. And so that was a very, very quick evening rest. But at 6:30, we went out to the fields, and you could see the fields filled with workers, cutting the asparagus with the cuchillas. It's stoop labor. It's very, very hard. And our host, Jose Lopez from the Diocese of Stockton, what he was doing is he was negotiating with the field boss that our labor would not negatively impact the workers' pay. And so at that point, negotiations took place that whatever time we got done with that field, the workers would be paid for the full day. Okay, and so that was very, very important. And then we assigned the students to a worker, and I explained to the students that, the worker has a sacred story, and that the student has a sacred story, and that they need to share their stories and be in conversation, but at the same time work. Within 1 hour, the field boss came to us and said, "You all are so slow. I would have fired you 15 minutes ago." Okay? Within a couple hours, we wanted to quit because with stoop labor, you're bending over the whole time and you're cutting and gathering asparagus, and your arms begin to quiver and cramp up. Your back begins to become very, very sore. I mean, just bending over, cutting, moving and cutting. We come from privilege. You know, we realize that we walk in privileged shoes. We do not work that hard each and every day. But again, it was a reminder that our ancestors, our grandparents, our parents, they made these sacrifices so that we could be where we're at today. So,
and well, my teacher was he was teaching me how to. There is basically a way that you have to cut the asparagus so it's good for production. So you had with the cuchilla, with the knife, you had to cut it right on the root. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a good asparagus. Also, there is some way that you have to hold it so you don't damage the asparagus. And it was really hard because you have to put it in between your fingers. And there is my teacher, he could feel his hand, I don't know, like probably 100, 200 in one hand, and I can just hold like 50 or less than that. But you can, after a while, you can feel how your fingers get numb and get hurt. So it was really hard labor because sometimes I couldn't put the cuchilla in the right place, so one asparagus was going to waste and it was not good. But they also have some sort of a system. The fields are divided in sections and each person has a task and a way to put the asparagus, so when the truck comes in, they can pick it up easier. And they were throwing all these names, and he was telling me, okay, you need to put the ends this way, or the, it was, I was like, they're professionals at what they do. Like he said, I don't think we did work for about 2-3 hours, but then after a while, we were like, okay, we just need to rest for a little bit. So it was really hard work, labor, and we probably got fire in the first 10 minutes of doing this, but they're professionals at what they do. And we just got to be with them and get this, see the fields. It was not a lot of asparagus during that time, so they do get paid per day, not per hour. But we got to have the experience for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. In this particular area is the San Joaquin Valley, and asparagus production is truly their economy. And when you think about how much asparagus is produced in this valley, it provides 33% of the U.S. production of asparagus that just comes out of this valley. And so we're talking billions of dollars of revenue that come from these farms. And it's the migrant labor. I'll call it slave labor. I mean, they're not paid. They're not paid well at all. I mean, it's very hard work for little pay. Jose Lopez, and he's from the Diocese of Stockton, and Mario Gomez, and he works at St. Mary's. And both of these gentlemen attended the consulta here in Omaha at Creighton University, and we got a chance to really get to know them. And I remember, and I'll reflect back to the consulta for a minute. During Mass, I had seen Mario, and he was in prayer, and he was weeping. And I was like, you know, I watched him, and I had my camera, and I thought, you know, sometimes you get that little devil on this side and the angel on this side. The devil was telling me, take the picture, take the picture. The angel was saying, no, don't take the picture. Well, I took the picture. My finger froze, and it click, 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 click. I mean, it froze. It took 4 shots. On the second click, Mario looked up, and he looked at me. And I felt a sense of embarrassment that I had taken this picture during this very private moment. And I couldn't find it in myself to approach him. But the next day at breakfast, I went and sat down by him. And he told me, he says, you know, you took the picture yesterday of me. And he says, and I was truly thinking about something very, very sad in my life. And And he shared with me, and he said, when I crossed the border, he said, I was with two people, and I was lost, and for approximately 18 hours, we were in that hot desert, and I had run out of water. We all had run out of water, and we knew we were going in circles. I was hallucinating. I knew I was going to die. I knew it. He says, I came across a woman, came up over the sand dune, over the hills, and this woman was there, and she had no shirt on, and she had a baby to her breast. And as I got closer, I realized both the baby and the mother were dead. And I screamed at God, how could you have done this? How are you a good God? Why would you do this to a baby? And he said he and his friends, with their hands, they dug a grave for the woman and the baby. And he said, part of my spirit is in that desert. He says, I can never cross again. I can never go back. And I have family in Mexico, but I can never go back because I can't cross that desert again. But again, I tell you that story because I want you to know how personal this is. It's about a human being. It's about humanity. It's about family. It's about spirituality. It's about love. It's about loss. A very, very powerful story that he shared with us, and I share with you. And so I do it in his honor. They were amazing, the both of them. They opened up doors for us that we never would have gotten off the side of the road, because we wouldn't have been allowed. Gates would have been shut. They had relationships with people, and they opened these doors for us to experience the migrant reality. And I think that because of their good-spiritedness, because of what they do, and because people in their community respect them, that respect was shared with us. And so, again, we are indebted to them because of their generosity.
Yeah, so one of the doors that they opened was, if you see that house, is a place where some migrant workers stay over during the season. And we got to see that, and we got to see how they lived. There were no people there during that time, but we got to see the living quarters. And there was a room by it that had chemicals and pesticides, and it was basically where these people are sleeping by the chemicals. And also, there is the bunk bed, so there is probably 10, 20, 30 bunk beds. So a lot of people gets to fit in very small space. Probably half of this room was the living quarters for these migrant workers. And we also, during the afternoon that day, we got to meet with Jennifer Torres and Victor Blue. They're part of the RecordNet newspaper. And they just basically wanted us, they interviewed us, so they got to see our experience, and other people did too. They wrote an article called Students Walk in Their Shoes, and Stockton is divided in different sections. And we got to see one of the camps, and one of those camps was the Tracy Work Camp. As students, we went to visit them and be with them, but we also brought a few items with us. We brought food and certain necessities, toilet paper, water, spray bug, bug spray. So we just got to, food brings everyone together. So that was our food in the door, bringing them something. But in return, they wanted us to share our story. That was the mutual exchange between us, to share each other's story.
There were camps that we weren't allowed to go to. There were camps. We were told there was camps where young boys ages 14 to 17 live in those camps, and they're secluded, and that the the owner basically has them as indentured servants there, buys the supplies in town, brings the supplies back to them, charging them 3 and 4 times of what it cost the owner, the farmer. In addition, bringing alcohol back to the camp. And so the young people, young men, soon become in debt to the worker, to the farm owner, owing hundreds and hundreds of dollars and not ever able to escape this cycle of servitude. And so we did not get to see those, but those camps do exist.
Another way that we share with them was, it was during Lent, so we got to do the way of the cross, and it was just the people from the camp and us doing the stations of the cross. So we got to read both in English and Spanish and just share with them, have a good time, music, and just share something personal such as faith and coming together.
In the camp, there was one spotlight on the building, and it shined into the parking lot. And so imagine yourself in kind of a canyon, and it's very, very dark, and we were, reading from the Bible, reading scripture with a flashlight. And in the background, you could hear the guitars, you could hear the singing, but you could hear the coyotes in the back singing along with us. They were howling, and so it was a beautiful evening.
So faith is very important to them, and one of the things that they do is do altars. And at this special camp, they had the altar of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and they were telling us how, because they're a family, they take turns taking care of the altar. They put in anything else. If there is a new person arriving, they put something of them, and they do candles, so they do cleaning. So their faith is important to them, and that's how they go through their lives while they're here in they're in Stockton.
Day 4, we went back to St. Mary's. I was able to see Mario Gomez, who in a very short time I seen him doing conflict resolution with homeless people who were in an argument. I seen him work on a refrigerator, work on a stove. I seen him mopping the floor. This man did just about anything and everything at this community service center. And I realized, I was like, man, this man is such an incredible resource to this center. It was inspiring to watch him.
Also, as part of our day 4, we went to this gas station. At first, none of us were sure why Mario was taking us here, but we soon realized that this is where the workers ask for jobs. So when we had a 12-passenger van, so as soon as they saw the van, everybody came to the van and were like, what is going on? Why are they coming to our van? Because they thought we were work. We thought that we were there to pick them up, to take them to the fields. So when we got out of the van, I guess we were disappointed, and they were disappointed that we didn't have work for them, and then they didn't have work that day. But they were happy to share their stories. Actually, that day, one of us had our birthday. A person there had her birthday, and the workers there, they sang happy birthday to her.
About 70 men.
70 men were singing happy birthday to her. And she did say that it was her 19th birthday, so she did say that her 19th birthday, she's going to remember it because 70 males were singing to her happy birthday. So during that time, we got to share our stories. We got to hear how they have to be there from about 5 a.m. to about 3 p.m. just waiting to someone to pick them up for work, and it's, so they're always, when they see a car, they go to the car because they want to be the first person to get that job. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they're refused the job based on if they're old, if they're young, if they might have some sort of injury or something, if, I mean, the people who go in the cars, they're pretty discriminatory of who they take. They don't take everybody, so they're just like, okay, you're going with me. So, but they have to wait there for about, 12 hours, 10 hours, just waiting for work. So that it just shows the perseverance and patience that they have in willing to just get that job so they can have some money.
Here in Omaha, on 24th and N Street, Plaza de la Raza, is a place where the men gather for the day labor. And so isn't it just not in California. I mean, it's cities across this nation. And so day four, this was an incredible day. It was our time to say goodbye. And St. Mary's, the migrant team, went out to the different camps and went to the different places where we worked and we met with workers, and they took vans and they took buses and they brought them all back to the church. And they had planned a huge fiesta to celebrate our final evening. So they had, ballet folklorico, mariachi. They had all kinds of incredible food. I think I can still taste the tamales if I close my eyes. They were so good. But it was a very, very nice farewell that they provided for us.
So we didn't want to leave, and they didn't want to let us go. So I guess the next morning they wanted us to come back and do service. So I think they were trying us to stall us and not let us go. So they're like, oh, we have more work for you. So we got to make pizzas, and we hang out with them for a little bit more. But this was day five, and in the morning after the service, we had to go to Los Angeles, California. But before I tell you a little bit about the trip on to California, I would like to read this reflection from Archbishop Oscar Romero. And he basically says, there aren't two categories of people. There aren't some that were born to have everything, leaving the rest with nothing, and a majority that has nothing and cannot taste the happiness that God has created for all. The Christian society that God wants is one in which we share the goodness that God has given for everybody. So it's just basically to say that at the time that we were in Stockton, we were equal. We were not people of privilege. We were just trying to be with them and share our stories and have a mutual exchange of stories. So it was a two-way relationship. But as a close to our service trip, we went to the Ignatian Family Teaching on Immigration at the Loyal High School in Los Angeles, which took place March 7th to the 9th. And their purpose was to just basically bring universities together and talk about the issue. And since they knew about our service trip, we were honored to do the reflection in the afternoon. So we got to share our experiences and just to reflect on and share with the people at the teaching what we did.
The students thought I was absolutely crazy when I told them I had volunteered them to lead the theological reflection for 500 participants. And they went, "You are kidding." "No, you didn't." And they went to argue. I said, "No, I'm not laughing. No, you're in charge of it." And this is the Saturday evening, pulling the conference together. And they did an amazing job. I was very, very proud of them. They received a standing ovation and applause. It was a remarkable experience. So,
It was a good experience. The people there, too, at the teaching, we had to sleep in the classrooms. So they were very helpful. They will. The showers were not open. They were open at a certain time. So if we were to ask them, can we use the shower or the facilities, they were very willing to help us out. So they were wonderful hosts, the Loyola High School, and we made some pretty good friends there too. So it was a good experience just to share with the other universities what we experienced on our service trip. And these are the... So our service trip came to an end, and the participants were Carlos Atencio, Natalia Trinidad, Lisette Oriuela, Norma Calzada, Luis Ayuboy, Cheryl Ligon, Maricela Hernandez, Min Yuan Nguyen, Lorena Samarripa, Allison Jabrowski, Liliana Jacinto, Ricardo, and we also gave a special thank you to Margarita Dubois and to the Catholic Migrant Farm Worker Network, Diocese of Stockton, Diocese of Tracy, and to our brothers Jose Lopez and Mario Gomez.
Well, Lorena and I will be giving this presentation, I want to say, three or four more times this semester at UNO Goodrich Program, at the Latino Educational Summit, which is a statewide summit. And then last year we gave it at Loyola Baltimore at a national conference on multicultural affairs. So we've been blessed by the experience, and we want to share it with you all. So thank you for listening, and we wish you a great day.
You've been listening to a program from the Metropolitan Community College Diversity Matters Lecture Series. We've heard a panel discussion entitled Accompanying the Migrant Family. The members of the panel included Ricardo Ariza, Director of Multicultural Affairs at Creighton University, and Lorena Zamarripa, a junior in the Creighton College of Business. They have talked about their experiences during their 2008 spring break in California working with migrant farm workers. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Monday morning, September 22, 2008, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to Katie McBratney, Public Relations Specialist at Metropolitan Community College, for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. Complete Noon Forum listings are available on the Internet. Visit our website at kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.